let's try some highlights. And so there's all kinds of real unique moments in a race, very much like NBA will have blocks and assists and dunks and those types of things. There's certain things that happen in the race, from photo finishes to double overtakes and things like this, that mean something to the fan.
Welcome to Crypto Slam Clubhouse, brought to you by CryptoSlam.io, the multi-chain NFT and digital collectible data aggregator, collecting data since 2018. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 10 of Crypto Slam Clubhouse. Today on the Clubhouse, we have upcoming drops, the news and trends of the week, and finally, an interview with Paul Dubay, head of Minty Labs, a company that is building out the IMSA Fastlane experience regarding new sports collectible NFTs, and adding a whole bunch of utility to that NFT.
Many NFT skeptics laugh at the idea of digital real estate, which makes this next upcoming drop a little ironic. Lords of the Lands, also known as LOL, is a utility-driven metaverse which plans to allow its NFT holders to monetize their virtual lands and earn monthly rentals in Ethereum. LOL's metaverse plans to bring utility in the form of entertainment, music festivals, gaming tournaments, and virtual shopping. The Lords of the Lands NFT collections includes a 2,000 supply of Lord NFTs and a 3,000 supply of Land NFTs. Crypto.com has collaborated with Lords of the Lands for the public sale of the Lord NFT collection on October 5th at a mint price of $299, that is USD. The mint dates for the LOL Land NFTs will be announced after the public mint of the Lord NFTs. Next, Build-A-Bear is partnering with Sweet to launch a series of digital collectibles in honor of Build-A-Bear's 25th anniversary. The NFTs will be released in three waves. On October 4th, Wave 1 will begin with the auction of a one-of-one bear fully encrusted with Swarovski crystals and a red crystal heart. The holder will receive both the physical bear and a digital NFT version. The auction will begin at a price of $2,500, and the second wave will begin in November with five one-of-one silver gala-themed bears for auction, and this collection will also include both a physical and digital collectible. The final wave will be a bit different in that there will be digital only and consist of 5,000 generative bears. Make sure you join our newsletter, NFTs on Deck, to stay updated on the hottest upcoming drops in the NFT industry.
Big NFT sales are still demanding our attention, and this week brought three massive head turners. A rare hoodie ape, CryptoPunk, was the real showstopper, with Punk 2924 selling for 3,300 ETH, or roughly $4.5 million. A couple other scorchers followed, including a zombie punk selling for 980 ETH, and a psychedelic king bored ape also selling for 777 ETH. There's plenty of bulls still looking to feast during this bear. Keeping on the topic of big NFT sales, Tyler Hobbs, the creator of the iconic Art Blocks collection, Fidenza, released a new generative collection called QQL. This interactive art piece allows the holder of the QQL Mint Pass to customize and build a stunning piece of art using on-site tools that give you the opportunity to create a work of art that's truly your own. The QQL collection brought in $17 million in sales, showing the world yet again about how collectors value art in the NFT space. Like to show off your favorite NFTs wherever you go? MasterCard is making it even easier to do just that with their new customizable debit card created by their partner, Hi. Your Visa card can now be imprinted with your favorite CryptoPunk, Moonbird, Goblin, Bored Ape, or Azuki, with more NFT collections expected to be compatible in the future. NFTs are going mainstream, and it's partnerships like MasterCard and Hi that are leading the way. Nike's highly anticipated CryptoKick sneakers were teased to attendees at SneakerCon, and the response was, well, underwhelming. The futuristic shoe seemed to be light on design or features, and many are hoping that the model presented is not the finished product. Seeming to be heavily inspired by 2015's Nike Air Mags, the new CryptoKicks feature a similar color and design maybe even features like the futuristic self-lacing. But with Nike's ambitious plans to release all kinds of clothing that's packed with augmented reality flair, the world is still at the edge of our seat, anticipating Nike delivering the future of metaverse clothing. NVIDIA is planning to power the metaverse, beginning with its new Omniverse Cloud service. The Omniverse Cloud provides low-latency 3D streaming, powerful AI and physical tools, and much more, which will help build the persistent, shared digital space that we all love to call the metaverse. Kim Kardashian has agreed to pay a $1.26 million fine for promoting a cryptocurrency called Ethereum Max. She failed to disclose that this was a paid advertisement, and celebrities and influencers must fully disclose any paid promotions or they risk hefty fines. Many are wondering when the SEC will turn their attention to the NFT space, which over the past year has been ripe with celebs showing off specific NFT projects that they may have been paid to promote. I guess we'll find out. But regardless, now you're caught up with this week's biggest news stories. Tune in again to Crypto Slam Clubhouse next week for another weekly dose of the Web3 stories that matter the most.
This is episode 10, by the way, of Crypto Slam Clubhouse. So we're getting up there. Welcome, Paul. Say hello.
Thank you.
And let us know what you're up to, man.
Thanks, Johan. And obviously, Yuda and Justin, nice to meet you guys today as well. And yes, Johan, we go way, way back in the Web3 space. Obviously, we're always, you know, I'm always tinkering with all kinds of stuff, but tinkering pretty hard with Minty Labs. Minty Labs is a new spun up company where we got a multi-year license with the International Motorsport Association. So in the wake of all of sports and entertainment being strongly validated in the NFT space, we felt pretty fortunate to land the contract with them. So that is what I am up to.
Awesome. And for people who don't know about where IMSA is in the racing sort of circuit, where does that fit alongside NASCAR and F1, and what kind of fans are they?
Yeah, so it is part of NASCAR and part of the France family. So France family started it back in, I think, in the 40s and originated out of the Daytona area. And so NASCAR, obviously, everybody's quite familiar with them. And it's more about the drivers, I guess, in NASCAR than it is their sister company, the International Motorsport Association, which is more about the cars. They've got great drivers in there, and it's versatility to allow F1 drivers or NASCAR drivers or any other circuit to come in and jump into some super cool cars. There's five different car classes in there. And so they can drive everything from Lambos, obviously, to Porsches, to Aston Martins, and so on and so forth. So the difference that we've learned over the last 8 months is that how close the fan can get to the sport. So we've been going to these races since, I don't know, last December. Engaging with the fans. And for me, it was really eye-opening. Like, you go to these incredible tracks and they're in the middle of the country, a lot of them, the ones that we've been to. Some are a little more sort of city side, but it's 4 days of partying. These people go there, they set up camps. They, like, it's literally the biggest, I just was like, oh my God, IRL communities. This, what I'm witnessing is IRL communities being set up. So you're able to, you know, get really close to the drivers and the cars. It's purposely designed like that to bring them in, where there's a firewall with F1 and firewall with NASCAR, what we heard as well. You can only get so close to the sport. So, you know, you can do hot laps with drivers, or we, if you have access to give them away, like we gave them away when we were the title sponsor to Road America in Wisconsin. It's just exciting. It's 4 days of sheer excitement. And again, five different car classes. So you've got, you know, the Mazdas racing against each other, and then right up to the WeatherTech series, which is the big boy series.
Oh, awesome. I know in NASCAR that the specs of the cars are really meant to be the same. And that's why the driver sort of takes, you know, the unique part of this whole thing. So is that the same in IMSA? Like, is the car the same and it has to be built out to the same exact specs, or could there be some variations there?
Each car class definitely has specs that they can't cross. So cars just are tested every week, just like in every sport, to ensure that, you know, there's no performance enhancing part of the car that people's building up. So for sure that they have levels they have to meet and reach in order to race. But yeah, you've got a variety of different cars. I think that's the cool part about it. It's not as you said, NASCAR has one standard car. There's multiple. You can have a Lambo and an Aston in the same race together. They both have to meet the standards, but they're both different cars, obviously. So I think that's pretty.
Is it a performance standard or a standard in how much they, like a cost standard? Like,
I think it's all of that encompassed into one. So definitely, you know, the parts and all of that are large. We were talking a little bit about Formula One before we started the podcast, and you watch the Netflix series, and if somebody puts a new wing on their car, it's a big deal, right? That new wing maybe allowed them to move a little bit quicker, or why is that car performing better? And it, you know, because a lot of the devils are in the details, I guess. So yeah, it's pretty cool. The manufacturing of it's really cool.
Oh yeah. Huda, what do you know about car racing, man?
Oh yeah, well, almost nothing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, really, really little. I just know that people are super into it. But I'm curious, what do racing NFTs look like? Are they, you know, video moments? Are they similar to NBA Top Shot or NFL All Day? Or are they something completely different?
Yeah, Yuta, that's a great question, because when we looked at the sport and we looked at, let me answer it in a little bit of a longer way. When we went to all of these races, we saw people walking around with bags of merch. So we really try to identify, will people buy this digital, whether it's a digital moment or highlight in the race, or like, what are they walking around with? And they were walking around with these, I don't know, maybe like 4x8 photos, some bigger, some smaller, of drivers, special, unique moments historically, definitely cars, like your favorite car, as an example, and they're buying these things left, right, and center. The merch is really, really hot there. So we were looking at it thinking, well, let's try some highlights. And so there's all kinds of real unique moments in a race, very much like NBA will have blocks and assists and dunks and those types of things. There's certain things that happen in the race, from photo finishes to double overtakes and things like this that mean something to the fan. So we're going to try to capture those in a collection and, you know, throw it out there and see what they think of it. So far, people we've spoken to are pretty excited about it. But remembering that NBA and NFL and these other sports, Major League Baseball, have had card collections for years. There hasn't been that same card collection where it's really structured, where there's only so many minted. And so we're going to introduce that, see what it's all about. We're really excited actually to get to the gaming side, which is a little bit further down the road. But yeah, we're going to throw a little bit of mud against the wall and see what happens.
Did I hear gaming? Really? Like some kind of, yeah, some fun mechanics to the whole project?
Yeah. Yeah. That's on the roadmap. I can see my smile on my face. I can't wait to get there, 'cause I think that the gaming side, leaderboard side, is really exciting, where you purchasing packs, in these packs could have like boosters to your race car. So you're going to be able to sort of own your own race car NFT, what's going to unlock your ability to play in some augmented reality game and be able to collect points, token points, if you will. We're not going to use the word token. We're going to use the word points for now, and have those points be utilized, obviously, to repurchase packs. And you guys know the shtick there. You can use the points for all kinds of things as long as it stays native to the application, where we're not crossing the security breach, if you will, in the industry. So yeah, we're really excited. We've started to map out the game. And I think that that's a big part, because we were asked by the president to bring in fan engagement, new fans to the sport, like every sport's trying to get eyeballs out there. And you've got these young kids who are at home today, and we got to get them off the couch, you know? And I think we can do that by bringing the game to them, introducing them to the sport, and hopefully unlocking IRL events in there as well. So yeah, I should mention that there's car clubs all over the place in these, like there's Porsche car club and Lambo car club, and they're at every single race. They're like nine, I think Porsche has 90,000 members to it. And these people are like warriors. They travel to all these races. It's all walled off. You can't get in unless you own a Porsche or a Lambo or BMW. And they have massive campground set up with their cars, and they party and they have a great weekend. So we want an IMSA Fastlane, our own car club, I guess, of IMSA Fastlane. There's really no place for the average fan to go.
What
there
car would you drive in there, Paul?
I got to stick with the Lambo Mondays. I mean, it's such a theme in our industry. I got to go Lambo Monday, but Oddly, I love the little Mazda cars because
I like the MX Miata.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So when you see them racing, that they'd like bump each other, like they're their own car class. And not that you know you want to bump someone off the road, but they get really physical with one another. It's kind of like you know the best rebounders grounding and pounding to get the rebounds. I love watching that part of NBA, and I like watching that part of racing where they're you know, a little aggressive with one another, but not over aggressive where you've got accidents.
Didn't know racing was a contact sport. That's interesting.
It's cool. Like you should see them, and they like you know when guys are battling. I don't know. I think of rebounding because back in the 80s, I watched so much of the, you know, the Bad Boys of Detroit. And it's just fun watching that aggression. It's not great when aggression gets to violence, obviously, but within the moment of that competition, that happens in cars. These guys are bumping one another. You get up to the Lambo class, obviously, you know, you lose your car. That's a lot of ching ching being thrown away. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
I did some research just because I wanted to get more of a grasp of what this industry and market looks like. And so I had some interesting findings. So according to Sports Pro Media, sports collectibles generated $26 billion in sales in 2021. However, with the power of NFTs now integrated into the mix, the sports collectible industry is set to grow and hit $227.2 billion in 10 years, so 2032, which is extremely exciting. I'm interested to see how integrating videos into the racing side of things is going to propel this, because I think you're right. I'm really excited to see how you all interject that and how you onboard new fans into racing, because it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I think so too. It's evolving. As we know, we've all been, I mean, I'm not 100% sure. I'd love to get a little more on your backgrounds as well, but in the Web3 space, but we all know that you know, the education is a huge part of this. And I feel as though been in this space for a while, that NFTs are just more, they're easier to digest. There's something that's backing it. It's an asset. It's an evolving asset class. And what we're seeing with the NBA Top Shots, and I think a lot of stuff that Dapper's done with their sports and us with IMSA Fastlane, is you're seeing this asset be reclassified as a commercial asset NFT, which, you know, as you guys could probably imagine, being in this space for a while, I'm already thinking, okay, does that mean that new DeFi models will have commercial assets that are in there that you can plug in that are more protected than general NFTs, that, you know, Bored Apes as an example. So I'm feeling like that's where this is going to evolve to from the commercial asset class, because there's certain IP rights and things that you can and can't do. But if you own a bunch of them across the Dapper ecosystem or Flow ecosystem, however you want to describe it right now, because it is somewhat controlled in there, very controlled in there, I think we're going to see that evolve. And we need to provide that kind of protection around that asset for people as well. We've seen, it's been a hot mess the last year of hacking and bullying and all kinds of garbage that we've seen that's just hurt the industry so bad, really harsh. So anyhow, we'll see where it goes, but that's my feeling on it.
What was it like to be at the races, Paul?
Loud.
Yeah.
You know, really loud. It was great. Honestly, I think I've spoken to probably 100,000 fans in the last, I don't know, 7-8 months. We all have. We were the title sponsor to the race, so that was really unique. We had our own booth set up, and we just never heard a negative thing about the sport. And everybody, you know, I was asking, you know, compare it against F1, compare it against NASCAR, tell us what you like and dislike. And these fans were really, really passionate. Like even at night, the parties at night, I won't go too deep into the parties at night, but the campgrounds, like some guys had massive screens, like 60-foot screens, and they were playing video games on them and talking sports. And, you know, it wasn't just NASCAR or IMSA or F1, it was sports in general, and just having a really good time. So think of like a campground on steroids, and guys are, most of these guys who will set up really unique campsites, they'd come by our booth and they're like, hey, come and see us. And they're like, actually, don't come and see us. We're never there. We just set it up for other people. They'll set it up for other people and they become known because they go to all these races and they're, you know, they'll have unique signs and designs, and they'll encourage people to leave out like free beer, and people are sitting around their campground while they're going to meet other people.
And what locations are there, or is it like a circuit, like with predefined locations?
Yeah, there's 12 capstone races and they're all predefined locations. So we've been to, obviously, Daytona. The kickoff in Daytona was crazy. It's the mothership of the sport. So that was a lot of fun. I mean, everything is NASCAR there, basically. The France family owns all of the property. The hotel we stayed in was an ancient hotel that was all done around sports NASCAR theme and had old pictures. So it was a lot of nostalgia, I guess, built into that. But we've been to, I can list off a bunch of them, but Wisconsin was my favorite, where we were the title sponsor. But New York was really interesting as well. And it's, you know, it's in the country area, I guess, if you will. That's why the camping is so popular. So here's an interesting thing that was said. So the president, John Doonan, came out and said, we're going to actually do some road racing next year in Chicago. And so this has been approved by the mayor. And so originally I'm thinking Formula One, this is pretty cool. And a lot of the fans didn't like that. The traditional fans, they're like, where am I going to camp? It's in the city. Am I going to go pay, you know, $300 a night for a hotel? And never really kind of thought about it like that. But I think he still wants to introduce that feeling, at least at a couple of different races. So maybe it's not the campsite feeling. They're going to introduce new city fans, I guess, and it'll have a completely different vibe to it, more like Formula One ripping around, you know, Monaco as an example. So, but some of the fans were not down with that. You know, traditionalists don't like change. We know a lot of people don't like change.
That's interesting. I think it's a smart move, in my opinion, in that it might integrate new fans. You know, I think it's more of a growth tactic in integrating new fans who aren't interested in camping into this.
Who's not interested in camping, man? That's camping is so much fun.
Look, man, I can get a little high maintenance. I don't know.
Have you not been glamping, Justin?
I have not.
Oh, man, it can get pretty nice.
Yeah, okay. That I can do.
I'll tell you all about it later.
Okay.
So I do agree with you, Justin. I think, you know, it'll introduce just a new experience for some of the fans. And it's a one-off at this moment. You know, for the most part, you can go and camp out and have a good time. It's across the country, all of these 12 capstone races. And I feel like it's going to offer some of the city people a chance to, you know, witness something that's a lot of fun. And we've had it in Toronto when I lived in Toronto. I don't know if you've ever been to them down there. When F1's been there. Have you been to any of that, Johan?
I have not, no. I've seen it though. Yeah. The Molson Indy. Yeah,
the Molson Indy. I lived around the corner from it. It's loud, it's exciting, it's, you know, a lot of people having a good time. It's very community oriented. So I feel like the city will be a good experience for some peeps.
Nice. I have a question. What utilities beyond collectible novelty are you most excited about when it comes to these projects?
It's a good question, because I did an AMA on Discord, and I mean, I'm going to default to what I heard, which was the hot laps. Like, people want to experience the race. And so everybody was like, I want a hot lap with the driver. Mm-hmm. Like they want to go around the track and be able to actually experience what that is. And some of them come out with white faces because it's, I haven't done it, but had an opportunity to. When we hosted the race, we had 10 of them to give away, and we could have done them ourselves, and we were just too busy setting up and meeting people, and I completely forgot about it, which I was really kind of bummed out about. I think the other ones are some that they're not even thinking about, and from my standpoint, the whole game and simulation side, like these drivers want to be involved with what we're doing. So we have an ambassador program that's being put together. I think we've got a podcast coming up either this week, talking to a couple of different drivers. I think there's a real cool play to these people love cars and they want to learn about the driving side of it. Again, it's more about the car itself. Somewhere giving them the opportunity to simulate with an actual professional driver and have some, you know, put your training wheels on and get an experience of what it's like firsthand. I haven't quite figured out what the dynamics of that looks like from a utility standpoint. We have a good friend of ours who's trying to become a professional racer. So we hooked up a professional racer with him, and they are simulating together, and it's a pretty wild experience. So I'd love for people who maybe think they want to become a professional racer to have that opportunity to go head to head with in a sim machine. Now, we would need a sim machine, which might be at our actual IMSA Fastlane booth, and maybe that's where it's unlocked. you're going to have to physically be there to trial it. I don't know, because these SIM machines, I think, are pricey.
Yeah, you know, with AR, Huda's a big AR type fan, and I'm sure there's utility there too, right, Huda? Possible?
Oh, there's got to be. Yeah, VR racing is going to be a really, really cool thing down the road. I'm sure there's already some right now that are just kind of killer experiences, but definitely. And I think NFTs one day will tie into that too. So yeah, a lot of fun coming there.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, you know, you've obviously got the physical that it can unlock. So we're going to have merch and all kinds of, you know, giveaways and things of that nature. And I think there's the physical side of your NFT membership to our car club unlocking there as well. You know, we all live in this digital, but I really, out of any sport, and we've actually validated this with some of the other sports with people we've spoken to, people sort of high up the ladder. And we said, you know, IMSA gives an IRL experience that other sports can't, many sports can't provide. Like, legitimately, we can set up there, provide this great spot for people to come and, you know, have a great time, meet some of the drivers, hang out with us, learn about NFTs, buy NFTs on site, get hot laps, you know, unlock some really cool IRL stuff, and getting people off the couch and kind of re-engaging again, which after the last few years, I think has been a challenge for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that's a big initiative in the future for us as well. And I was kind of making this point a few minutes ago, witnessing these races, you know, if you own a Porsche, it's high net worth. Not everybody owns a Porsche. So there wasn't always a spot for people to, I mean, the campground, yes, but if you weren't coming there camping, if you were just coming in and out, there wasn't a spot for somebody just to call their own. And, you know, why is that important? Because it was freaking hot when we were there. They follow the weather, right? So it's 90 degrees and there's no place to, unless you're sitting under a tree, there's not a lot of great food options either. So in some of these, and Wisconsin had some good food options, but for the most part, they're pretty pedestrian. So if we had this IMSA Fastlane tent and you had an NFT to our car club and you came down there, we gave that, you know, that spot to call your own, and you're talking sports, you're eating, you're drinking, you're having a good time. We feel like that's something that's going to be a big in play in the future.
Paul, you're kind of selling me on it. I'm going to have to look out for these NFTs, right? Want to get some of that IRL, you know, action there. So when does it come out and when can I get one, man?
Yep. So we're not live, obviously, because I can talk about our Dapper partnership, because it's coming out. The drop is happening in the next couple of days. So we partnered with Dapper Wallet, and that's not holding up our launch, but it's definitely that integration into the Dapper Wallet is certainly, we're getting a few other logistics ready. The tech is ahead of the product, which is really, as a tech guy, is really cool. So right now the rest of the product is just getting a little bit of a brush up. We're talking to some of the OEMs. So the OEMs, there's 18 car manufacturers. So we're ensuring that we can utilize all of their logos and all of that good stuff within the registration of the account. But it's going to be in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing a little surprise drop, taking the same strategy as NBA and NFL, and many of them did, which there's no big bang coming out. Everybody's kind of testing tech and testing the water, seeing who's going to come aboard. The collections will happen before the end of this year. So we're going to drop a collection before the end of this year.
Would the first collection be? Will it be, what's the supply of it? Have you thought about that stuff yet?
We've got three or four different examples right now, and we're working with one of our channel partners who is really connected into IMSA, that knows the sport really, really well. They're helping define a lot of that. So they're, I would say, the sport guru. They'd be the ultimate fan with insider information in the organization. So yeah, undefined at the moment. There's two or three models that we're working on, and really aggressively working on tapping into their, they get a huge, huge amount of video clips, as you can imagine, at 50 years of video clips. So they're figuring all that out. And some of them have been watching race after race and just figuring out what the best clips would be for us to launch. And I think even the collection will come out kind of like, not with a big boom. We're going to do a little bit of a Dapper strategy there to drop, see how people are engaging with it, and move forward as such.
Very nice. And where can people keep up with you guys? Like, what's your addresses and your Twitter and all that?
Well, imsafastlane.com. Obviously, scroll to the bottom. You'll find the Discord channels and the Twitter and all the good stuff on there. So join the Discord. We've got some really cool peeps in there. Some of the drivers are in there as well. A lot of passionate fans. So we're going to continue to build that out as we move forward.
And you guys also have a podcast. I guess I'm going to be a guest on soon. So
yes,
looking forward to join that. Where can we catch up on that?
I think the podcast is also, let me double check that, because we just started, I kind of just came out of nowhere. Let me jump to imsafastlane.com. I think we have that on the bottom of our page. Just stand by. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we got podcast.imsafastlane.com. It's also in the footer. It's in there now. You can get it on Apple and Spotify and obviously Google Podcasts. So you haven't met Jeremy yet, have you?
I have not, no.
Jeremy's a really cool cat. You're going to really like him. He's been doing podcasting for quite some time. Very, very entangled in other sports. So he's in the NFL side and NBA side. So we brought him into the IMSA side and he's been killing it.
Nice.
Fun dude.
Yeah, looking forward to jumping on there and talking about sports collectibles and NFTs. So, well, you know, thanks for catching up with us. I was very interested to hear that you were coming on, and I just, you know, I know your passion for sports. We've talked about this many times, and glad you have something like this awesome that you're working on. So, you know, nice to catch up with you.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on, and I'd love to obviously connect with you other two guys as well and learn a little bit more about you guys as we move forward. So maybe we can do a follow-up off the podcast call.
Okay. We'll stay on. See you guys. Bye, everybody.
CryptoSlam has some of the most comprehensive data in the NFT industry. Contact us today to find out more about our free and enterprise API. Thanks again for tuning in.